This is the EWN Radio Network.
You know, I always say how you react to life is how life reacts back to you.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
It's time for Life Interrupted Radio, a show dedicated to practical skills for your mind, body, and soul. We're hoping we'll go in one ear and stay there. Here's the host of the show, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome to this special series we're featuring here on Life Interrupted Radio, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. The NIH estimates nearly 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder. To put that in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. You'll be as surprised as I was to find out what autoimmune entails. I brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted. So let's get started.
Oh my goodness. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and I'm here on the Autoimmune Hour with you again on my Friday night, the start of my weekend. I hope it's the start of your weekend, or at least you have something fun planned. You know me, I am a super fan of farmers markets, and I went to a really great one last week. They had so much great food and a lot of things that I could eat. They had some gluten-free product there that was fantastic, which I have to say, you know, I'm thrilled. It's really good. But the problem is, wow, it's really good, right? So maybe you can understand what I mean by that. I tended to eat a little too much of it, but it was fabulous. Had a lot of fun. And so that's what I love. And I'm planning on going back to that same farmer's market because I thought it was a really great mix. I don't know about your farmer's markets, but our farmers markets here in the Pacific Northwest are usually pretty strict. Like, it's absolutely just food type products. They don't allow crafters or anything like that. But I have to admit, I kind of like it when you got a crafter or two here or there. It just kind of shakes up the mix, so I love it. So I'm going to go back to that farmers market this weekend and just have a fabulous time. Oh, and the other cool thing I'm looking forward to, going to the zoo with my granddaughter. Regardless of how you feel about zoos, I just have to say, I just love spending time with my little precious little granddaughter, and she loves animals, so I'm looking forward to that too. So I hope you've got something fun. And tonight, I am curled up. I think if you were listening a couple of weeks ago, you heard that one of my London listeners sent me some fabulous tea from Wittard. I think that's how it's pronounced. We'll ask our guest tonight, because he's from the UK too. But it's Wittard in Chelsea. And tonight, I've got the Marrakesh Mint Green Tea. And this is just like the jasmine one. You could like put these as sachets under your pillow. They smell fabulous and they taste even better. So I'm actually going to be going to London this fall. So I'm going to look up this place because I'm sure I could just probably buy out their tea shop. Anyway, so that's what I'm curled up with here tonight. What are you curled up with? And now let me introduce this fabulous friend of mine. I met him a couple of years ago when I was in London. You know, we just hit it off. He just really gets people. I don't know how else to say that. I think he's probably laughing back there. But anyway, and it's his nighttime too. It's actually really late. But anyway, and I'm going to introduce you to Dean Griffiths. He's known as the Soul Whisperer, and he really is the Soul Whisperer. He's an intuitive coach whose passion in life is empowering women to live a life on purpose. Dean works with one simple rule. Your problem is not your problem. Your attitude about your problem is your problem. And I just raised my hand and I said, woohoo, amen, yahoo to that. Because, you know, all of us, if you've got an autoimmune condition, I know you know this, that you see that stress can change to how you're feeling about it, how your body's feeling. Your attitude about it can change it all. Other people's attitudes about it can change it. So, but let me also say that Dean is the founder and CEO of Energy Fusion, an online health and wellness platform, whose goal is to empower over 100 million people to take charge of their health. So you can see why we had to absolutely have him on. And don't let me forget to ask him about his living a life of purpose guide, because I want to make sure that at the end he tells you how to get that, because that's fabulous too. So, D, Dean, thank you so much for being on the Autoimmune Hour. I'm so thrilled to have you here finally.
Hey, Sharon, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm actually really looking forward to getting into a good conversation with you. Actually, similar to like when you were in London, you know, we had such a great conversation.
I know. The time flew. It was great. And it was a beautiful day. That was the cool part. It was autumn, I think it was April, wasn't it? I'm trying to remember. It was April when I was there. I was surprised that it wasn't raining.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm coming back. I don't have this date solidified with the group yet, but I'm coming back this fall, I'm pretty sure. So we'll be sure to get together for some more tea, because that was fabulous. But anyway, I wanted to talk to you because I read a couple of your blog posts. Well, I read them all, but these two really resonated with me because I know one of the things you're really adamant about. Maybe you could tell me if that's too strong a word, but maybe it's not strong enough, is the power of taking responsibility. And you and I get into conversations all the time about, you know, look, regardless of what got you here, take responsibility for it and get yourself going in the direction you want to get going, right?
So true, right? You know, it's easy to blame circumstances and other people for our problems, but actually when you take your own responsibility for whatever's happening in life, even when you can justify it's not your fault, I guarantee you'll probably resolve your problems in half the time.
You know, sometimes it hurts. It's hard to, it's really easy to say, well, he did that, she did that, whatever, and point the finger. And you know what? Sometimes it just feels better that way. What are some tips that you have for us to, I like to say, find the lesson even in the pain? Sometimes to me, I know that's people look at me strange when they say things like, well, Sharon, you know, you have this autoimmune condition, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, I know. But man, I wouldn't be doing the Autoimmune Hour and meeting fabulous people and talking to my wonderful friends and all this if it wasn't for that. So let's talk a little bit about, gosh, it can just feel crummy to have to take responsibility.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the first thing I always think about, first of all, remember, whatever autoimmune disease you have, it's just a title. It's just a label that you've been given by the medical world or even by yourself now as well. And you actually live by that. You know, so many people feel disempowered once they've been given these labels. So the first thing I say is take the label away. You know, if you went in to see your doctor and he said, you know, Sharon, I just want to let you know you've got a condition called bananas. You go, okay, bananas. What does that mean? Now, in your mind, bananas means nothing. It's a fruit. So when you leave, all you got in your mind is this thing about bananas. It doesn't mean anything to you. Now, when you normally go to your doctor, you've got an illness, go, well, this is what you've got. I'm going to give you all these pamphlets which can tell you all about it and all the things you've got to be aware of. And all of a sudden, this label is now, you've taken ownership of it. But the thing is that you've not taken responsibility for this disease. You've now gone, well, the medical industry has said this is my disease and this is what I've got. So it must be true.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so when you take responsibility for it, you go, hands it. Well, it's autoimmune disease in the medical terminology, but what does it actually mean to me? Take for instance, cancer. Cancer, there are thousands of different types of cancers. So the thing is whatever disease you have, it can be personal to you. So you can make it personal to you. So I always say people, change the label. Get rid of the label first of all. That's the first thing about taking responsibility. Change the label that you've been given. It means then you own it. Means then you can describe what that means to you and you can treat yourself based on this new label that you've given yourself.
Oh, absolutely. Got to tell you a funny story. I don't think I had a chance to tell you this one, but when I first got diagnosed, and I totally agree because the word have, when they say, Sharon, you have, when the guy's got a white coat on and everything, just implies absolute authority and your unconscious brain goes, oh my goodness, ownership. I remember looking at them in all seriousness when they said, you have dermatomyositis. And I said, no, I don't. Oh, yes, you do, Sharon. Yes, you do. And I said, look, I'm willing to accept that as a label so you and I can discuss what's going on medically, but I refuse ownership of it. And they had no clue what that kind of language meant. They did not understand the depth of what the word have means. But it was interesting because you said bananas. I love that. It's much better than my description because my description was, look, you could tell me I have cockroaches, but that doesn't mean I own them nor do I want them. That's where I'm putting the dermatomyositis, in the cockroach folder.
Exactly. And that's the thing, right, isn't it? You know, once you decide to take responsibility and go, hands it, I can either accept the name that you've just given me that I've got, or actually I can say, you know, here's what you're telling me I've got an opportunity. And I always say it's an opportunity. Whenever you get any kind of illness, whether it's even just a cold, it's a gift. There's a message in it for you. There's a reason why you've been given it. Oh. So I always say you've been blessed to have some kind of illness when it comes into your life.
Yeah, I saw this wonderful little, I don't know what they call them. Maybe it's a meme. I never know what that word means. But those little, you know, picture quotes that they are all over the web these days. Now, it's not exactly like what we're talking about, but I loved it because it relates. It said something to the effect of, like, being negative only makes a difficult journey more difficult. You can be given a cactus, but that doesn't mean you have to sit on it. And I just wrote that down because I was like, oh, yeah, that's so funny. I love that. You don't have to sit on it. Because
I was going to share, actually, while you were speaking, that actually great. Saying or quote came to me, which says, you can either say that a rose bush has thorns or a thorn bush has roses.
Oh, I love that one too. I'm going to steal that one as we promote the show, Dean. I'm going to steal that one.
There we go.
Just takes so little for us to reframe and to take responsibility for that reframe. And I remember the doctor's face when I said, no, I don't. But for me, that was critical that I voice that I keep a clean definition in my mind that I'm going to conquer this, that this is going to be great. And, I share with you today, for the first time in 24 months, my blood tests for the markers of dermatomyositis came back normal. So we're celebrating today.
Wow, that's great.
That's why I say taking responsibility is just exciting to me, being able to know what you want and what you don't want. So Dean, talk to us about how do we know that? You know, sometimes when people in authority, and we don't have to just talk medical here, any kind of authority, teachers, our parents even maybe, I don't know, our loved ones, or how do we know? I mean, sometimes the information can be sound so true and you're like, gosh, I don't know, it doesn't feel quite right for me, but it makes a lot of sense, and then you get confused. So how do you use your intuition to know?
Yeah, you know, the thing which is, again, not just autoimmune disease, but very common with most diseases, is that it's considered hereditary. So we go, well, you know, my mother had it, my grandmother had it, so, you know, it's just part of life, right? I go, well, Hansa, you can accept that your mother and your grandmother may have had the same problems, but, you know, if you understand anything about what we call epigenetics, you understand that you have a susceptibility that's passed on to you by generation to generation. You don't have a guarantee that you're going to get the same illness. So often people become victims who go, well, you know, there's nothing I can do about it. You know, my mum said that she couldn't resolve her problem and she's on a medication and my grandmother had the same problem. And all of a sudden you've kind of disempowered yourself. You go, well, this is something that I have no control on. This is something that's been passed on from generation to generation. I go, well, no, it's a susceptibility that's been passed on. You can accept, once you accept that, you go, well, hang on a sec. If I'm only susceptible, it doesn't mean, that means I've got more control. If I take responsibility for it, it means actually I can change what this actually means to me and actually how I use this illness in my life. And actually I can live my life according to the illness, or I can live my life according to the way that I want to live my life and allow the illness then to live the way that I want to live rather than it lead me. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And I want to take that future pace that because I love the idea when I started thinking about my illness. Now, no one in my family has dermatomyositis, so I can't say that directly, but I can think of people and family members and stuff where I've heard that, you know, oh, my mom has it or whatever. But one radical shift I want to propose is that idea of, do I want my beautiful granddaughter to have that legacy? No, absolutely not. So I got to break the legacy here because I don't want to pass it on to her. And to me, understanding that it's just a label and that it's a susceptibility is powerful. And then I want to take that one step further in my own life with my own beautiful granddaughter. I'm like, nope, I got to break the chain here. This has to stop here.
Yeah, you know what? I so agree. And having coached a lot of women over the years, one thing, especially as mothers, and I always say this to them also, I say, look, here's the thing is, you're now saying to your own children that they do not have control over their illnesses that they get, is that they've actually got to live with them. And once they play that back in their own minds, they start to realize, wow, I'm going to tell my children that they have no power? how bad is that as a mother to tell my children that actually they have no power over what can happen to them? And that really can make a big mind shift. So I'm really glad you actually mentioned that, because I think that's such a powerful point.
It is. You know, and when we talk about no power, because I think about as a mom, how much we are telling our children, you know, follow your passion, you have the power to choose, you have, and then all of a sudden we give them a very disempowering statement. What kind of confusion is that causing?
Absolutely. Well, the thing is, we're doing it with ourselves all the time, so it's easily done, right? It's easy just to go and tell your children the same thing because you think that's just normal.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Well, let's redefine normal a little bit here. And then I also want to make sure, let's redefine normal. We'll have to take a quick commercial break after that. And then I want to get into your blog post about fear, because that was so strong and so powerful. So let's talk a little bit about, I love this idea about normal. People will say things like, oh, I just want to be normal. You know, no. Let's talk about your concept of normal.
But you know what, when people say normal, I go, okay, what that really comes back to from my perspective is your values in life, what you actually value in life. You know, most people don't actually understand what their values are in life. So they consider themselves normal. You know, I'm normal because I fit in within height, weight, whatever, you know, I'm normal. Okay, but when it really comes down to defining who you are, it's actually your value, what you actually value in life. And most people with illnesses, I often find they haven't got a clue what they value in life. And I go, well, here's probably why you've got the illness in the first place, is that you're probably not honoring the things that you value the most in your life. And this is, again, very common with women, normally mothers, because they put their children and their husband and partners before themselves. So they realize when we look at their values, they go, oh my God, I'm putting everybody ahead of me. But actually, what's the most important thing to me is actually self-love. And I go, wow, okay, so self-love is important, but you're number three, number four in your priorities in life. And then you're wondering why you get illness after illness come into your life. So for me, that's really powerful to understand your values in life, because that really then determines how you live with any kind of disease. It actually allows you then to decide how you use it. And actually, it also lets you know when things are not going well, which values you're not honoring in yourself.
Oh, that's powerful. And I find, hopefully, my fingers are crossed as I'm talking to the young people out there, that this is changing. But I remember as a young woman growing up, putting myself first was labeled both by the women in my world and the men in my world, that I was being selfish. And I'm hoping that that concept is changing. Because oftentimes I hear women say to me, Sharon, I want my old life back. And I have to go, let's create a better, different, stronger, more vibrant future. Because if we want your old life back, isn't that what you got you right here?
You know? So true.
Well, we'll take a quick commercial break on that and let you ponder that idea. Because sometimes people kind of go, huh? But we'll let you ponder that idea. And we'll be back right after this commercial break.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And oh my goodness, it's my pleasure to be here tonight with Dean Griffiths, known as the Soul Whisperer. He's an intuitive coach whose passion in life is empowering women to live a life on purpose. He has one simple rule he works by: your problem is not your problem. Your attitude about your problem is your problem. And I wanted to have Dean on, as you could tell so far, that we just love chatting about responsibility and understanding how we communicate with people, how we take responsibility, the labels we put on ourselves. I love the label banana. I think I'll start telling people I have banana and see what happens, Dean.
That's a great idea.
But you wrote a fantastic blog post called Befriending Your Fear. Now, when I read it, I was of two minds about it. As a woman, maybe it's not fear that I'm talking about, but sometimes fear is a good thing. I think the heightened awareness when I'm walking down a dark street alone is a good thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, but then again, you talk about sort of these false fears, as I like to call them. These fears that can keep us stuck and not moving forward and not seeking the correct medical help or asking the right questions. So let's talk a little bit about how you view fear and how to befriend it.
You know, fear, or actually, you know, the way I always say that, it's false evidence appearing real. And again, like I said, there's different fear. You know, fear, or the same with stress, actually, which is behind a lot of autoimmune disease, is a natural part of being a human being. So we need fear. Like I said, it keeps us away from danger and everything. So when I say fears, it's the fears that we create ourselves. So when we've been given this label of a disease, all of a sudden it brings up a lot of fears for people. So the idea is, let's go hand set. This is just your fears are based on your past experiences. So most of our fears that we have in life are based on past experiences. And even our past experiences are not the true version of actually what really happened. So we've got these fears going around in our mind, which we're living a life by, that are not even true in themselves, because the fears themselves are self-created. So my thing about fear is actually, when you actually, again, you know, going back to what we were talking about in the first part of the show, take responsibility for your fears and you actually own your fears, you realize actually your fears are nothing more than something that you've created in your own mind. So, you know, this is why some people can be in a very stressful situation and they find they can just handle the pace of it. It's not a problem. Whereas other people, they just freak out. It's just too much for them. The idea is that the fear has just become overwhelming for them and they don't know how to control it. The thing is, they've given their power to the fear, but the fear is just a part of them. So once you realize that your fears are, in a sense, you, well then, of course, you want to become friends with it, because you realize, why do I want to deny a part of me that's probably here to actually help me rather than actually frighten or scare me? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I want to talk a little bit more, though, about these false fears being part of us. It's certainly there again, this idea that we talked about before. It's easy to throw the fears, especially when I got the diagnosis, as you said, the label banana, but when they said the word dermatomyositis, it could have been supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. I had never, you know, what the heck is that? It was like,
absolutely.
So I had no, I mean, I knew it wasn't good based on the doctor's body language. I knew it wasn't good, but I had no basis to have fear of it until the minute I left the audience, the office, and I Googled it and I went, holy crap, that's not good. And so sometimes I think it's a little hard not to blame external things for the fears, like looking at the whole diagnosis and all of that. That was scary. So once we go, okay, yeah, Dean, that's scary. When we get to that point, how are we able to control it within ourselves when we admit it out loud? Like, yeah, that is scary.
Yeah, and I think that's the best thing to do is, first of all, is you admit that you're scared. You know, being scared, a lot of people try to hide it. I actually find it's more common with men than women, but actually admitting to ourselves, first of all, that we're scared is actually a good thing. We go, okay, if I'm scared, what does that actually mean to me? You know, it can bring up certain feelings within the body. You can, if you want to, you can go deep in the body. Okay, so where in the body is that fear? Okay, so I feel it in my stomach. Well, you know, we can go into like some NLP stuff and you can go, well, give it a shape, give it a color. And you can change that fear. But I would say, look, the fear is there for a reason. It definitely has a message for you. So how about you actually have a conversation with your fear? And for a lot of people, this is kind of quite a hard one to grasp sometimes. I go, the fear in itself is just, in a sense, an entity that you've created, so you can communicate with it. Because the fear is just something there that wants to give you a message. So I would say the first thing is, like you said, let it know that you're scared. That's great. And don't be scared to actually say, I'm scared. It's actually good. The thing is then to go, well, if I'm scared, what does that actually mean to me? And then why am I scared by this and I'm not scared by something else? So there's a reason why this is bringing up your fears for you. So again, it's going back, these fears are my fears. This situation has brought up my fears for me. Now, what can I do with this fear? Now, a lot of people in this situation, they will deny their fears. They go, you know, I'm going to find another way of coping with it, which is great. So we find these coping mechanisms. I go, no, I want you to go into the fear. Because the more you go into the fear, you realize actually the fear is not actually that big. And that's a big point for most people, is they're scared to go into their fears and actually understand what it actually is that they're scared of. And in most cases, when they really get into it deep, they realize actually they're not actually that scared, because what they thought they were scared of wasn't actually that big a deal. So one of the best ways I get people to do this is to go, the fear that you've got in your mind, because that's the only place that it is imagine taking it out of your head and placing it in front of you.
Okay.
First thing that happens in most cases is the thing that you place in front of you looks really small. You go, okay, in my head that fear is huge. But when I take this fear out of my head and I place it in front of me, wow, it looks tiny. And then you really get to understand is that fear that you think is really big in your head, when you actually observe it, you actually realize it actually is not a big fear. And this is really powerful for a lot of people when they start taking this concept of, remember, the world around you is created by your mind anyway, so you can do the opposite. You can take what's in your mind and put it out into the world in front of you. So in your mind's eye, you can see this fear and go, well, this fear is just like a small little box. Oh, okay, it's not so bad now, so what can I do with that fear? Now you can actually communicate and actually understand the fear better, because now you're actually seeing the fear rather than thinking about the fear in your head. Does that make sense?
It does. Now, if we want to communicate with it, now I've done parts communications and other things like that, and I do communicate with my fears as well as my symptoms and my pains, all sorts of things. But share with the audience your methodology for how do you talk to a fear? Some people might be sort of rolling their eyes like, okay, you've got me taking this little blob or box or whatever it is out of my head, putting it in front of me. Now you're telling me I have to talk to it?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds crazy in one sense, but the thing is, once you start doing it, so it's two different ways. Some people like to do this actually just as a conversation in the head. So you almost find there's like two voices happening in this conversation. You know, one of the first kind of books that really kind of got me into this kind of way of working is Conversations with God. I don't know if you read the book or the book series, but it was very much a conversation a guy had with what he considered God. And it's the same thing I say with people with their illnesses, when you can have that kind of conversation with it in your head. And then the other way of doing it, which is a lot easier for some people, is actually to write it down. So you almost write it down as, okay, here's my question, here's my thought, and then what comes next in my mind? Okay, I'm going to write that down. And all of a sudden, this whole conversation just starts, and all of a sudden you find, oh, actually I'm answering my questions that I'm asking. And you've actually realized you actually are communicating with your fear, whether you're doing it in your head or whether you're writing down. So for me, they're the two most common ways that I normally do it. You know, if you have someone else with you, if you're working with a coach or therapist, it's another way of also doing it. But if you're on your own, that's a great way of doing it, either in your own head or actually just then writing it down.
Oh, fabulous. And I want to add to, I also like to ask it, whatever it is, if I'm working with a symptom, a pain, a fear, I always like to say, whose voice is this? And sometimes it's not mine. Sometimes it's my very fearful, tiny little grandmother, bless her heart, passed away years ago. But she was a very frightened type of person. And, you know, sometimes it's her voice, and other times it's a school teacher's voice. It just amazes me sometimes when I said, is this really my fear talking, or does this belong to somebody else? And whose voice is this talking? And lo and behold, oftentimes, I'll put in air quotes, it answers me. So, but that tells me who it is. And it's not always me.
There's always a distinct difference between your voice and this other voice, right? There's always a difference. You go, ah. And I love that you do that. You actually then ask, well, actually, whose voice am I actually communicating with here? It's actually really powerful. And I think it actually allows you then to have a more deeper, meaningful conversation with your fear, because you actually realize this has actually got an opinion. It's actually got something to tell me. So I find it actually really powerful. So thank you for sharing that.
I love that one, because oftentimes I find that it's somebody else's fear, and I have to then play with that idea of, why did I accept that belief? Why did I accept that fear? It's not a fear that I ever thought about, or I'll say had a scary situation where it got embedded in me, you know, got a fright on my own or something where it got embedded in me. And so I always find that fascinating. Sometimes good part of the time it answers back and it tells me who it is, where it's coming from. And I'm just like, oh, I get it now. It allows me, I don't want to say not accept ownership of it, but it allows me to take that other person's, my vision of their script in life, and go, oh, I get why they might come up with a fear like that, but that's not me. So I can help guide that, shift it, and send it back to them with love and hope that they can transmute it, transform it. But I just always find that fascinating. I'm glad you talked about being able to talk about our fears and, by extension, our symptoms, anything actually that we want to talk to, we can talk to.
You know, how many people actually speak to their body on a regular basis? I mean, I expect very few people. It's not until we actually have something go wrong that we actually then start trying to understand the body, whether we go to Google and start finding out what it means, what disease we've got, and what it means to us. But actually just communicating with your whole body on a regular basis, you actually get to understand it a lot better. You know, so whenever we get any kind of twinge or something happen in the body, it's actually good to speak to your body and go, okay, body, what's going on here? This is something different. What's happening today? And like I say, we can have these conversations with our body and actually start to learn that our body is actually giving us a lot of messages and feeding back a lot of information back to us on a regular basis. I always say that I try and speak to my body at least once a month, which is actually great for women in connection with their menstrual cycle, because you get to really understand your body and actually the messages it's trying to communicate back to you when these kind of little pains and everything come up for you.
Absolutely. And watch for patterns. This is true story. Years and years ago, I'm still really good friends with her, but I had a healthcare professional, and she started to notice a pattern. I kept having this left shoulder pain. And over, I'll say, several years, this pattern developed in her mind. And she started to realize that I would come in and maybe complain about someone or something. And then she noticed that it was always there related to the shoulder pain, something that I had not seen the pattern because I was too involved in it. And I love this, because she said to me one time as she was working on my shoulder, she said, you know, if you take the knife out of your back, you'd do so much better. I was so in shock when she said that, but when I thought about it and she explained to me the pattern, she goes, well, you know, you come in and you talk about this one particular person and it seems to correspond with the shoulder pain. And I actually envisioned myself doing a little ritual, removing the fear, the pain, and that metaphorical knife, and lo and behold, my shoulder's been fine ever since. So I find it fascinating, these stories we create for ourselves.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, you realize that the pains that you have are not pains themselves. There's a neuroscientist who actually says pain is just an opinion. I so believe that statement. It's such a good thing. It's actually realized that we've got people walking around with lots of different illnesses with no pain whatsoever. It's not until something actually happens in your body, you realize, oh, there's something going on. I need to get it checked out. So actually, once you realize actually that pain is something that you've created, there's actually probably a deeper message in there for you, and you start doing this on a regular basis, you actually can resolve a lot of your problems a lot quicker, because your body's actually trying to help you. It's actually trying to work with you to go, hey, look, just to let you know, there's this thing that you keep going, like, you know, like you're saying with your left shoulder, just want to let you know, if you listen to your left shoulder and you realize what you're talking about at the same time, the two are in correlation with each other. We often find that once we're more conscious about what we're thinking about, we then start to understand the different pains that we get. You know, often I will get nudged by my body when I've gone into like a negative thought process. And my body will just do something like, just give it, you know, like a little shake or something, just to kind of get me out of it. Because it's saying, hey, look, your thought processes are going in the wrong direction here. We just want to let you know that you can stop doing that if you want to. And I find the more that you can listen to your body and communicate with it, the more it will give you the signals before you even get to the stage where you have to have something go wrong.
Oh, fabulous. You know, and I know in the blog post you'd talked, and I think we're headed in that direction, where the second step you had was to take action. Now, so we've got talking to us, and it's telling us, hey, you know, that little twinge or in the shoulder for my case. And sometimes knowing the first step to take, we're like, okay, we have awareness, but now what?
For me, this then comes to the stage of letting go. Because in most cases, the things, the fears that have come up are not our fears, like you've already mentioned. The fears are fears that have been passed on from our mother or our father, or for some other, maybe a sibling, or even from generations beforehand. These are fears that have been passed down, and we've taken ownership of these fears and gone, well, if everybody else had that fear, well, I must have that fear also. But now you go, actually, I'm going to let go of this fear. What happens if I just let go of my fear? How would I feel? And all of a sudden, you know, so, you know, you can literally just pick it up and throw it away and go, thanks, Phil. I don't need you anymore. Thanks for coming to my life. It's really nice that you've been here. But let's just throw you away. You know, your time is done. I think I've got the message from you, and just throw it away. And for some people, it literally is just a case of just imagining it in their mind just disappearing. And, you know, going back with some of the NLP techniques, you can actually do that. You can actually imagine that box that I mentioned before getting smaller, or actually even in some cases even getting so big that you can't even see the shape of it anymore. And different ways that you work in your own mind, you actually find that once you do that, the pain just disappears. So it really is about kind of just letting go of it in whichever way you want to, and you realize that actually either there was nothing there to fear in the first place, or actually you start to get to actually what's really is the main fear. Because often a lot of our, what we call, you know, our superficial fears actually have a deeper meaning. There's something actually a lot deeper within that, especially when you know, when you're talking about autoimmune disease, the fears that are coming up for you are normally things deeper that you've been holding on to for a lot longer. So it's just one part of that process is that you've got to get rid of that. Those fears that you thought were the worst ones, because they're normally not the ones that you have to worry about. It's the fears that are underlying that. And again, it's going back in this cycle of accepting the fear, communicating with it, and then letting it go. And just understanding is it's just a process that you're working through to deal with as part of life. You know, we can't avoid fear in life. This is the thing about life. People try to avoid fear. I go, the thing is, fear is always going to be there. It's like the shadow on a sunny day. It's always going to be there. So the thing is, you can either try to avoid it or you can face it and deal with it.
I'm glad you brought that up, because one of our guests a couple of weeks ago, Dr. Clark, talked about stress-related illnesses and everything from adverse childhood experiences to post-traumatic stress disorder, et cetera, causing helping to cause certain illnesses in our body. And I can see how that also, well, as he calls them, stress-related or memories of these experiences could either create fears or be in tandem, working in tandem with fears. And this whole process of letting go is just hand in hand with how we'd be able to make a big shift in our health. I'm curious, though, sometimes I find that I'll say people don't want to let go. There's a secondary gain, or there's something else that makes it hard to let go.
Yeah, you know, and it's also okay to admit that to yourself is that, you know what, I don't want to let go of this yet. You know, that in itself can sometimes be very empowering to yourself, realizing actually, I've got this thing, I know I could let go of it, but actually I don't want to. Like I said, there may be something else going on, so there's a reason why it's come into your life. There's a reason why it's come up at this point along your journey. So you're going, okay, I don't want to let go of this right now. I go, okay, that's fine, and hold on to it. Because there's a reason why you want to hold on to it. You still haven't learned whatever it wants to teach you, because with all these opportunities, you know, I call them opportunities that come up in your life, they're here to bring you a gift. And sometimes you've got to receive them many times during your life before you really understand the gift. So sometimes I say to people, you know, when you feel like you don't want to let go of it yet, then hold on to it, because it means it's trying to teach you something that you haven't got yet. And once people work from that kind of thing, they go, oh, so you mean it's actually okay just not to get rid of it yet? I go, yeah, it's yours. Remember, it's only in your head. This, you know, I use the analogy of stories. We create all these stories in our head, and we can decide to let go of the stories or keep living by them. And some people want to hold on to certain stories. They go, well, that's fine. You just recognize that's a choice for you to hold on to that story. It's not a bad thing. It's not a good thing. It's whatever you want it to be. So if you want to hold on to your fear of pain, then do that, because there may be more value actually in holding on to it than letting go of it right now. Does that make sense?
And I'm thinking that as you, one of your first suggestions was about writing it down, when I asked about, you know, talking, having a real conversation, wondering whose voice it was, you mentioned about writing it down and doing some exploring. I can see where writing it down here would be also really helpful of, once you got to that point of understanding the pain, and then you come to this decision point, and all of a sudden you're like, maybe I'm not ready to quite let go of it yet. Continue writing, perhaps on what was behind that decision of quite not yet, you know, not yet.
Yeah, you know, this may be an ongoing dialogue with your body that you may need to have for quite a time. You know, you may realize actually there's something more that I want to learn from this. So, you know, it's, yeah, absolutely. Let's have a daily or weekly conversation and let's see what comes up. And actually then you really, and that really comes back to, you know, the headline of my blog post is about befriending your fear, because you realize it's not actually something bad. You actually realize it's something worth using and actually having in your life, because each time it comes up, it seems to work out that when it comes up and I actually deal with what's there, my life seems to get better. So there must be a correlation between me understanding and befriending my fear and then letting go of it, or actually even holding on to it, like we're just saying, and actually my life seems to be going okay, because now I'm not scared as much as I used to be, because I realize actually my fears actually are a gift rather than something here to come and harm me.
I'm glad you bring that up, because oftentimes, you know, we think about fears and they can paralyze us. So I love your tips that you've given us on how to change our fears. We want to be mindful of our time here and not run out of time. Tell a little bit more about what you do, Dean, for people and helping empowering women to live their life on purpose, and share with them how they can get the wonderful guide that you have, Living a Life on Purpose Guide, because I want to make sure that we don't run out of time before the end of our show, have people know how to get a hold of you and learn even more from you.
Like I said, my passion is empowering other people to take charge of their own lives, to live a life of purpose. Because I think when you can step into your own power and then start living from your inner self. I used to work with a lot of older women, and then I found that my clients were a lot of younger women, and maybe this is the new generation coming through now, is that women now at a younger age are now questioning life, and they're going, what else can I do? So my gift is an intuitive. I can read energy. I can tap into people's energy of their body or their life or situations and the people around them, and then tell them from a different perspective of actually what's happening. So my ultimate guide to living a life of purpose that you can grab from my website, deangriffiths.co.uk, really takes you on a process of, and actually taking responsibility is one of the first parts of that process that you go through to really actually understand yourself and actually how you live your life. You know, I always say how you react to life is how life reacts back to you. So once you start to realize, take responsibility, and then I give you the tools then to how to deal with life and actually understand the things that come up in your life, then people actually realize actually there's so much more empowered, because they realize actually they're in control of their lives. So that's why I created the guide in the first place. So if you want to go and grab a copy, you can sign up at the website, deangriffiths.co.uk.
Oh, fantastic. Now, I wanted to share with everyone, Dean has this wonderful ability, as he said, he is an intuitive, but I want to give it a woohoo from a standpoint of somebody who's experienced it. If you're saying, Sharon, that's a great idea to talk to this symptom or this fear or whatever's going, you know, put it outside me and all of this, but I'm stuck, Dean's the one to guide you through that. He's absolutely brilliant at being able to uncover those little places where maybe it's a little shadowy or you're a little vague, whatever like that. So, Dean, if you have one last tip for our listeners here, and then we'll let you go, because I know it's getting late over there.
Yeah, no, that's actually fine. The other thing which I say to people is look at the world around you. Your world is just a reflection of you. And a lot of your patterns that you're trying to change in yourself are being shown back to you. So look at the people that you surround yourself with is a big one for a lot of people. And I go, look at the five people that you spend your most time with. The problems that they've got going on in their lives, I guarantee you've probably got a similar problem going on. So remember, we surround ourselves with the people who are like us. So if you don't like what's going on in your life, look at the people who are around you and see if they've got the same problems. If they have, then it means you've got to change yourself, and you find either the people change who you spend your time with, or you actually find that you change the people that you spend your time with. So it's very much becoming about more aware of yourself by being aware of the environment around you.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what I saw that flashed into my mind when you were talking about taking a look at the world around you? I saw a bumper sticker the other day, and I loved it. I wrote it down because I loved it so much, and it said, question the premise. And I was like, oh, I love that. I love that. Make us think about why am I, you know, the whole premise of where did that thought even come from? I just loved it. And now question the premise, and then I'm going to put on Dean's here. Take responsibility. We're going to come up with some more of these, Dean, but I love those too. So question the premise and take responsibility, folks. Dean, thank you so much for being my guest. We're going to have you back, but I'm so thrilled you're able to talk about these topics, because you don't hear about them from other people. They're certainly not going to hear about them in the medical community. And sometimes they can be scary to bring up to our family and friends, because they look at us and they, not only do they look at us and like, you're ill, but now are you crazy? So thank you for bringing all of this up into the out into the open and letting us know how to do it. I so appreciate you and your work, sir.
My pleasure, Sharon. And, you know, if people have any questions, feel free to ask. I'm always around to help.
Absolutely. I'll put his URL to his website up on the blog so you guys can get in touch with Dean. Be sure and go over and get his guide. It's deangriffiths.co, which is CO, .UK for his Living a Life of Purpose guide. It's fabulous. And everyone, go have a great weekend, whatever your adventures. As always, enjoy.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at sharonsaylor.com/radio gift.
This is the EWN Radio Network.